I'm bringing our class out to the audience, to the adult class. So now my style in my new Christians class is informal. Okay, and I take my time, you know, with my students. And so so what am I saying? I'm not in a hurry to move along. So this is a new converts class. If you know this information, I want to hear from you. I want to hear you share and explain it in a way that will help our new Christian to understand it. The subject matter that we were talking about last week in our class was attendance. Is a lesson on attendance, understanding what our expectations are, you know, from God, what God expects us to do in that area. And attendance is something that is an ongoing thing. Attendance is very necessary. It's a command. Attendance doesn't change because of the changing of time. God says in Malachi 3 and verse 6, I change not. The Jews were pretty much questioning God, and if you read the book of Malachi, they have become selfish. They have become a little, had an attitude towards God, toward doing God's word. God was addressing them in Malachi chapter 3, and they were being sarcastic and saying, God, when have we done this and when have we done that? And God says, Let's turn over there just for emphasis' sake. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. If you go to Matthew and you go back a book, you'll get right there. So we're talking about this the subject of attendance. Malachi chapter 3, I'll start at verse 1. Malachi 3, verse 1. Esteban, you there, sir? Give him a make sure he gets there. Malachi chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 6. Give me a thumbs up when you're there. Okay. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire and like the launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. They will offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Now, I'll read verse 7. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way have we returned, shall we return? So if you read on, you'll see that they had this sarcastic, this reprobate type of attitude towards obeying God. And God is telling them that he's going to come and render judgment on them. The same thing holds true for us. God is going to come back one of these days. He's going to come as a thief in the night. And COVID-19 doesn't change God's word. Technology does not change God's word, his commands. It doesn't make his commands obsolete. God still requires us to assemble. The importance of assembling ourselves together, I just cannot overstate the importance of assembling ourselves together. There are strength in numbers, class. There are strength in numbers. When we come together, we're commanded to come and worship our Lord first and foremost. But the benefit that we get from being with one another and worshiping with one another and fellowshipping with one another and talking to one another and seeing how each other are doing. Everybody has struggles in this life. Everybody has physical challenges. I have mine. You have yours. And so we can help each other. As go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start reading in verse 22, Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 22, and we'll read through verse 26. And I want to turn to some other scriptures that talks about some of the basics, but I want to establish this scripture here, because this is our bread and butter as far as why we do what we do. I know you got time to get there, because I'm slow getting there myself. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 22. And the scripture reads, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to store up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin." So because we have verse 22, it tells us to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. So because we have obeyed that form of doctrine that has been delivered, we've understood that God died for us, Christ died for us, and was resurrected, and he ascended on high and is on the right hand of God intercessing for us. We have obeyed that form of doctrine in baptism. We've been baptized. We've done the necessary things to be added to God's kingdom. Now, the brother, the apostle, is telling us to verse 23, to hold fast to the confession of your hope without wavering. for he who promised is faithful. So we want to keep that vow. When we obey the gospel, we made a vow with God that we're going to obey him and that we're going to conform and do the things that that God requires us to do to be acceptable. God doesn't want us to neglect our salvation. God does not want us to obey him. And, you know, we do the necessary things to get into the kingdom, but after we get into the kingdom, we start to put the brakes on. We start to dig in our heels and say, well, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be here doing all the assemblies, and we kind of question that. And so go to Hebrews chapter 2 while I'm thinking about it. So God expects us to assemble. It's a command. And that command hasn't wavered at all. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's see here. Starting at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Let me know when you're there, Brother Israel. Okay. Hebrews chapter 2, I'll read verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bared witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And I'll stop right there. So we must pay attention. We must be aware of our responsibilities as a Christian. And we must not take our salvation for granted and neglect it and treat it haphazardly, because Christ died for us. Christ has made provisions for us so that we might be able to make heaven our homes if we live faithfully unto death. So it is very important that we understand the importance of attending worship. Now, I'm gonna give you another angle. The elders of a congregation that has elders, those elders have been set in place, and that has been ordained by God, that has been authorized by God. We as elders, 1 Peter 4:11, we're supposed to speak as the oracles of God. We're supposed to carry out the commands that God has given us. So this is not something that we're doing because we like power, we like authority. We have prepared elders, good elders, should have prepared a spiritual feast, I'm going to use this analogy. There's a spiritual feast that had been set by the elders. That spiritual feast is different samplings, different offerings of the Word of God. At that spiritual feast, the invite has been given for you to assemble. We've set the times to assemble, that the first day of the week is mandated by God. Now, we have also decided that it is expedient and important and necessary to have two assemblies. That is for your edification. That is for your growth. That is for your benefit. So God tells us to shepherd the flock. He doesn't give specific times or dates. He does tell us to assemble on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. But as far as how long we're going to worship, how many times we're going to worship, that is decided by the elders. So let's go to, being that we're in Hebrews, so we won't we have to jump. You go to Hebrews chapter 13. So there's a spiritual feast that has been set and established by the elders on the first day of the week. And the two services have been established because it's expedient, it's beneficial, and the elders have deemed it necessary because of the importance of us assembling together. Now go down to I'm in the wrong chapter here. Hebrews chapter 13, and let's go verse 17 through 19. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. So obey those who rule over you. Now go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. There's something I want to key in there on what the Apostle Peter said about elders and how they should rule. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll read verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I whom am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So an elder is supposed to oversee, to manage, to shepherd, to lead, not taking it for granted that it's a power position. I got this position, I got this responsibility, I'm gonna mandate these things. We're following the instructions. We're under the authority of God. And we are Christians just like you are. We're equal in the kingdom with you. We're serving side by side with you. And we have strengths and weaknesses. And we are striving to lead you. We're striving to, again, 1 Peter 4:11. I like that scripture. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So the things that we have as the Apostle Paul told Timothy, the things that you have seen and heard, commit thou to faithful men, to you, to the members of the body, so that you can likewise follow and do the things that God has commanded us to do. And let's go back to Hebrews. I've been talking a lot now. Y'all know I talk. So if you want to say something, you raise your hand. I promise my mouth will shut. Okay? But for those of you who just come in, my name is Brother Zach Teasley, and I'm one of the elders here at the Southeast Body of Christ. And I teach a First Principles or New Converts class. Our brother Obed is out in the field. Our minister is out this morning, so I'm filling in. So I brought my class into the adult class. So the subject this morning is attendance. Why we should attend when the doors are open, when the assemblies have been called, that we should see it, the importance of making ourselves available to come. Now, before I get back to Hebrews 10, have you noticed that a lot of congregations of the body of Christ have done away with their evening services? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how rapidly it happened after COVID-19? It's almost like they were looking for an excuse to cancel it, to stop having it. Just food for thought. But getting back to Hebrews 10 and verse 24 and 25, we were talking about verse 22 and 23. Because we have obeyed that form of doctrine, we shall walk worthy of the calling wherein we were called, Ephesians 4, starting at verse 1. We've responded to the calling. We've obeyed God. Now it's time for us to demonstrate that faithfulness. As it says in verse 23, he who promised is faithful. Verse 24, let us consider one another in order to store up love and good works. So when we assemble, because we love God, because we love to come and worship him, I hope that you see the importance of offering up worship to Jehovah God. God must be glorified. Remember that. God is expecting us as Christians to assemble and to worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4 and verse 24 says, he who worships God must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. That means with the right attitude and doing it doctrinally correct. Doing it in the manner that God expects. Doing it the way that he says do it. So Leviticus, don't turn there. I'm going to tell you about it. Leviticus 10, 1 through 3, we have Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, who decided that they were going to alter God's worship. And we know what happened after that. God wasn't happy. So I want you to remember that as well. God expects you to be here, present. God expects you to tune in to God's word and to worship him and in spirit and in truth. That means with the right attitude and according to the way that he has commanded it. So going back to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3 says something that's very interesting. It says, God says, I must be glorified. I'm paraphrasing. God says, I must be glorified. When we come to worship God, we must realize that we're here for a purpose. We're participants. You no longer have to bring an animal to the temple to give it to the Levites and have them offer up worship sacrifices on your behalf. You are all priests under the law of Christ, under the the governing of Jesus Christ. So we have a responsibility to actively participate in worship when we come here, and we must be tuned in to what's going on, to what's happening, all the elements of worship. We shouldn't be doing this number. Now, if you have one of these, I'm going to assume that you're doing worship when you're on here, that you are in the Bible, that you're in an application that is follow, that you're following what's going on, that you're not texting or you're not checking email or doing something on your phone during worship. Brother Kevin. Good point. Are you here because you want to be here? You love to be here because you love God and you want to worship Him and you love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and you want to see them and encourage them? Believe it or not, elders need encouragement too. We need encouragement. We like to hear the good and the bad. I like to hear everything you have to say, okay? I want to know what you're thinking. Good, bad, or indifferent. If it's indifferent, we'll sit down and investigate God's word and come to the right understanding. But we need encouragement too. You need encouragement from me. I need encouragement from you. So that's the one. That's the main reasons why we come here. Now, if we understand that we have jobs, we have physical ailments. Now, if we're physically unable to be here, God understands. But we need to make sure that we're staying away because of a selfish reason. Now, when we stay away from worship, another point I want to make, when we stay away from worship, we're being selfish. Do we realize that? I'm going to ask you to explain that to me. How is that being selfish if we don't attend worship? That's a question.
I deprive you of my wonderful presence.
Amen. Amen, sister. Brother in the blue shirt there.
I'll leave to her point. One of the things that we're challenged to do is to edify each other. And it's not possible to do that, not easily possible to do that if we're not present.
Edification, that's right, brother and sister. Because of your presence encourages each other. It edifies. We can edify one another. It's a Kevin and then Joe.
When people come here and you see them struggle through physical things that slow them down, and yet they're here, even without a word, it can be an encouragement. I see people struggle, and when things happen to me, I think to myself, quit your whining. You know, there's people who have it much worse than you, and they are here to serve God. It is
yes. I'm not going to call in. Go ahead, Brother Joe, before I make my point. Go ahead.
I think the most precious gift that God has given us is time. And then when you're greedy with your time, we're called to give a lot of meaning to return the blessings that we've been given. That's definitely one of the most precious blessings we've been given. And when we hoard it for ourselves, we're definitely being
well said. Turn in your Bibles, because assembling has always been important to God. The Israelites assembled back in the Old Testament. And Psalms chapter 89, go in the Old Testament. Psalms chapter 89, verses 5 through 7, talks about the assembly. So assembling ourselves together on the first day of the week, not only on the first day of the week, whenever the elders have deemed it necessary for us to assemble, is when we need to be here. So Psalms chapter 89, verses 5 through 7. Brother Esavon, let me know when you're there, sir. Okay. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all of those around him. So, God is to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Yes, God is a powerful God. He should be feared because he has the power to what? To take our souls and to punish us eternally. Matthew chapter 10 tells us to be afraid of, don't be afraid of the one that can kill the body, but be afraid of the one who can kill the body and the soul. So we have other scriptures that I want to make reference to. Let's look at, go into the book of Acts, chapter 2. Any other questions, any other comments that we need to make? We're talking about attendance, and I wanted to let the audience know, which I may have glossed over. This is a new Christian class that I teach, and so I am being very basic here, and I am taking my time because I want our brother to understand what thus says the Lord. So I'm not in a hurry. Acts chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 41 here. Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So do we see that some of the key words there, do we see that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is the doctrine of Christ? The apostles got their doctrine from Christ. The God, through the Holy Spirit, revealed those truths to the apostles who wrote it down, who spoke it and wrote it down and gave it to the saints and gave it to those who they saved. And it talked about fear came upon them because they saw the signs and the wonders that were done by the apostles. And what did that generate? They believed and were together. They were together and had all things in common. Are we together when we assemble here on the first day of the week? we should be, as 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, let there be no division among you. Let us be joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. How can we achieve being unified and together, jointly together in the same mind and in the same judgment? By studying and obeying the word of God. And part of that obedience is for us to assemble. And also, we should be studying God's word daily, as it says here in this example. They continued daily with one accord, breaking bread from house to house. So after they assembled on the first day of the week, what else did they do? They associated with one another outside of that as well. So don't wait for the elders or for a formal gathering to be called. Invite some brothers and sisters into your home and commune with them. And go and do things together. And continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine. You can study the Bible together. You can fellowship together and continue to build and to unify. So we see the importance of assembling. Yes, sir, bro.
Just as it's important for the new Christian to be able to study and discuss and ask questions, even those who've been Christians for a while, since we live in the world, and we may not have, at least today, be in close proximity of our brothers and sisters, as you mentioned, making purposeful attempts to get together and to study, or even just to call somebody up. I mean, using our current technology, call somebody or text somebody if you have a question or something of that nature, to keep in touch. There may be those who are not able to physically meet, but as in any relationship, it's important not to let those things that encourage you and brought you together in the first place be taken for granted.
Right. And so it's important that we recognize our brethren who are shut in. Now, I'm not going to call any names. There are brethren out there who need your visit, who need your call, or who need your letter or your card. There are brethren who are assembling, who are hurting, who are in pain. Hopefully you know who they are. And these brothers and sisters can be encouragement to us because they go on. Regardless of the situation, they're here. Okay? We got a few minutes left. That's the first bell. So reasons for attending. Because we love God, John 14:15. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that because you love God, you should obey God because of the things that God has done for us. And we also need to assemble in order to allow us to grow as newborn babes, the sincere milk of the word, 1 Peter 2:1-4. Write that down, 1 Peter 2:1-4, to grow. Faithful attendance protects us from apostasy. What is apostasy? Falling away. So faithful attendance keeps us from apostatizing, from us getting caught up in the cares and the concerns of this world. It takes our mind off of God. Yes, sir, brother.
Another part of apostasy also is getting caught up in the ideas or what's being put out in
Good point. Good point. It keeps us from taking our eye off God's word and off the road that God has marked for us, that we can know what that road is by staying in tune to His word. Now you're going to run into a lot of religious people who are going to tell you that you're wasting your time coming here in the evening and on Wednesday and any other time. You know, you don't need to go just once. You know, God will understand. It doesn't matter. You know, you know you don't have to go that many times. You can't serve God on your own terms. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us to present a body as a living sacrifice, right? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 tells us that we live by the faith of the Son of God. We're crucified with Christ. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So it can cause apostasy if we don't attend. We miss the fellowship of other Christians. If we don't attend the assembly, God commands us to assemble on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. So if we're not attending and not doing that, we're failing in that regard. So I talked about the spiritual meal that has been prepared, that the eldership has prepared this spiritual feast for you. Come and get it. We expect you to come out and to respond to our call to come in, well, first and foremost, God, we're telling you to come because God is telling you to come. God expects you to be here. See, a few more points here, and then we'll, yes, ma'am. Well, you can tell them that maybe they can grow to the point where they can, I'm going to assume you're saying that they have to work on Sundays, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I would try to reason with them and try to let them understand is that you have to put God first. You have to put God first. So I would try to convince them to see if they can get it, maybe work it out with their current employer so that they can attend. And if that doesn't work, they should look for another job because God is first. I know we have to work, but provisions can be made for you. You know, if you have to work and you can't get another job that doesn't require you to be working on Sundays, you know, you contact the eldership and let them know, and we can make provisions for you if necessary. But again, the first things is try to accommodate the current employer, or the second thing is to get another job that doesn't require you to work on Sundays. The third thing is that we could make arrangements to make sure you get worship. So that's the end of the class this morning.